Thank you for your presence with us, for you're always with us. Thank you that we can come and worship you and draw close to you, even though you're in us. Lord, help us to know you better, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. So Advent carol, Advent wreath, and as I say, Sunday school, we're making that last week, putting it all together, and it looks lovely. And obviously it was one of the teachers in particular, but everybody was involved in it. And I'm sure in Sunday school, they're talking about this particular wreath and what it represents. And so it's good for us to have it. I know many churches that do it. I must admit, it's something I've never done before myself, but there's churches I belong to that regularly or every year have an Advent wreath and light the candles. Different things that they represent. We have four white candles. That's probably my fault. But with four white candles and one red candle in the middle, I think it's appropriate because it's a lovely, great, big candle in the middle. And there's different things that these things represent, and I'm not going to talk about all of that today. We'll come back to it on other Sundays as we light the candles, or people will go and look it up and see what it means. And the wonderful thing is there's not one answer. There's not one meaning. Whenever you go look it up. But it is something that's done in the Church of Ireland and in the Church of England, and I'm sure other churches do it as well. But this is Advent Sunday. First Sunday of Advent, the fourth Sunday before Christmas. Jesus Christ is coming into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. Almighty God coming in the form of a man. Almighty God, the Creator, becoming the creation because we messed up. We got it wrong. And that's not you and me got it wrong. We continue to get it wrong, but Adam and Eve got it wrong because God made them perfect. And a creeping snake convinced them that everything wasn't perfect. And they believed this creeping snaker. And they took the fruit of the tree and ate it, which God had told them not to do. And the rest, as they say, is history. And we live in a world that still is like that. People still think they know better. Everybody. We all think we know better. And yet, those of you as parents, do your best to teach your children the way to go. And you struggle with that. Because all of us were at one time children. And no matter how good we were, and I know looking out at you are all good children. Every single one of you, not a bad one in the bunch. But even though you were perfect in your eyes, you still messed up and got it wrong. You still made mistakes. You still did. I know for most of you it's just wee tiny things. But we all made mistakes. We weren't and aren't perfect. And the point of perfection is that that's what's needed to be before God. Because God is perfect, absolutely pure and holy. And the only way that we can approach a holy God is to be holy and perfect ourselves. And we aren't. And so we wonder, what on earth am I going to do? And in a sense, maybe it is appropriate that we have white candles burning, because white is the color that represents purity. And the white candle, single candle that's burning today, and as I said, there'll be two burning next week as we get closer to Christmas, symbolize and represent the purity of the one who is coming. A perfect man, a sinless man, the Son of God. Because he came to put to right everything that we'd done wrong. He came to be the perfect sacrifice. And I know at Christmas time we celebrate his birth. But in order to understand his birth, you've got to also understand his death and everything in between. So the perfect one is coming. Pure, holy, spotless, sinless. For me. Because I'm not. And I want you to think of it like that. You think of it yourself. He came for you. Because you're not. But he is. And so he came and he lived and he died. And the reason why he died, yes, we'll cover more fully when we get round to Easter. But he died because that was the sacrifice that was needed. Because the Jews always had sacrifices in the temple. And yes, this is not a temple. And yet so often our churches are built like the temple. Because we sit in the congregation and we look towards the front with the table. The table, the desk, the altar, the holy table, the communion table, whatever name you want to give it. But it represents a place of sacrifice. And we bring our sacrifices. And even after this sermon, we're going to have an offertory hymn where we take our money and we offer it to God. And it's placed on the table as a sacrifice. Because it is a sacrifice. When we take money out of our purses or our wallet or out of our income and we give it to God, that's a sacrifice. Because most of us could do with keeping it. But the reason why we give it is because of what we believe. Hopefully not just because it's our tradition. And the amount of that we give is dependent on what we believe. And what it is that we're giving it for. But regardless of what those thoughts are or those beliefs are, it is a sacrifice. When you take money out of your pocket, out of your purse, out of your wallet, and you give it to God. And that's why it's put on the table, because the table represents sacrifice. And on the table represents, and today, because we're having Holy Communion, it represents the death of Jesus. Because again, pure, spotless, white like the candle, holy, sinless. Why on earth would someone like that be a sacrifice? And of course, we know from teaching from the Old Testament that the Jews came with a lamb. And they took a perfect lamb. Had to be spotless. Not one with any defects. That wasn't good enough. And the lamb was sacrificed, but and the sacrifice of the lamb represents the particular family. But hopefully most of us realize that a lamb is not a human being. So even though the lamb may have been a perfect sacrifice for a family, it's not really a perfect sacrifice for us. Because we don't go, bah. We speak English, or whatever language we do speak. And so Jesus, just like you and me, a man. Eyes, fingers, toes, just like you and me. Heartbeat, lungs, liver, spleen, just like you and me. Just looks like us, but different. Because he's perfect. Not like you and me. And so in his sacrifice, what was he being sacrificed for? Because he was perfect. He was sinless. So he wasn't dying for anything in himself. And because of that, he was able to die for everything that's in you and me. So as we look at the light, the white candle, perfect, pure, spotless, representing the sinless one who's coming. He's come for me. He's come for you. He's come for everyone. And he's come for everyone who'll receive him. Because that's the only bit that the whole world has to do. We've just professed what we believe in. And yes, it's part of our tradition. And we say it every communion, and we have a different one that we say on the other Sundays. Because it's, I believe in God. But the one that we said today is, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. One of the reasons why we say this is because the words that we speak have power. The words that we speak have power. And it's not just when you speak words of faith or when you speak the words that are in the Bible. It's every single word that you speak has power. And we all, unfortunately, are familiar with that. Because there are many of us that carry hurts. Some of them are deep wounds because of something that somebody said. They didn't beat us up. They didn't strike us on the cheek, slap us over the back of the head. They said something. And many, many, many of us are deeply wounded. And the words that were spoken could have been years ago. 20, 30, 50, 60 years ago. And for some of us, we still haven't forgiven them. And we convince ourselves and other people, but you don't know what they said. You don't know how they hurt me. And it's just words. And yet, it's not just words. Because words are powerful. And that's why I personally love our tradition. Now don't get me wrong, there are other churches that I go to that I like. I like because of the worship, because it's maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 songs in a row. But in most of those other churches that I go to, the one thing that they lack is they don't read this. Now they may be preaching this and you'll get one verse and it will be preached on. But this isn't read like we read it. Because in the Church of Ireland setting, you will always get the Word of God read, at least twice. Today I was in the Epistle and the Gospel, from Romans chapter 13 and then from Matthew 24. And the Bible is read. It's spoken out loud. And it's not just, okay, just reading the reading. But there's no difference to whenever I speak or whoever speaks the Bible out loud than what we do whenever we say the creed, because they are words. And they're words of faith and they're words of belief. And the words are going into the atmosphere. It's not just that they're going into our ears, because it's something that's being established in this place. And you mightn't understand that. You mightn't credit that. But if you think on the negative, you know how you've been hurt. And so just by words that have hurt you, I'm telling you that whenever we say the creed, whenever we speak it out of our mouths, it has power. It has even more power, if you mean it. But it has power. It's not just empty. Oh, that's something that we always do. There is power in the words that we speak. So therefore, it's really important that we speak good words rather than bad words. And we're careful on what we say. And so we speak the Bible. We read the Bible. And I do my best to expound on what the Bible says, which is what I do when I preach, is to explain it so that it becomes important to all of us and not just sitting there. But even if you don't get what I'm preaching about, you'll have heard the Bible read. You'll have heard in the Book of Common Prayer, because the most of what's in the Book of Common Prayer is straight out of the Bible. Again, it's another strength of our services. Even though, unfortunately, many people on the outside look in and think, sure, it's boring, they do the same thing every day. And in a very real way, praise God that we do. Because this is where the strength is. Not necessarily in the Book of Common Prayer, but in the fact that the words of the Book of Common Prayer are straight out of the Bible. That is where the strength is. Because they are good words. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Wow. That's a lot to say in explanation of who someone is. Through him all things were made. That was last week's lesson. The lesson, the epistle that I read last Sunday, is what that says. Through him all things were made. All things visible and invisible. All things that were made in heaven and on earth. Is what I read out last Sunday. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. That's why he came. That's what we're celebrating. That's what we'll celebrate in 4 weeks' time and a couple of days on Christmas Day. Sorry to offend, but it's not the big fat guy with a beard, usually in red and white. It's Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. And there I go again. You can't have the birth without having the death to understand what we believe. He suffered death and was buried on the third day. He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. It was professed and foretold in the Scriptures that that's what would happen. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And that's the bit that leads into what we read today. Because yes, we're celebrating in the fact that he's coming. But in the midst of his coming, he's coming back. And are we expecting him? Or are we like the people at the time of Noah? As we're just doing the same old by and by, and sure, it's been 2,000 years. Load of bunkum, not coming. Or are we those who, I believe, I know who Jesus is. He's not just Lord God Almighty who created everything. He's my Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And I believe. And because I believe, I'm expecting him to come. And yes, there's times I might get it wrong because, again, I still sin once in a while, as perfect as I try to be. I still make mistakes. But my heart of hearts is, I believe, and I'm standing strong, and I'm going with what I say and what the Bible says. And I know in a real way that I do put like a cloak around me of him. And I do my best to think on good things. And if I get it wrong, I say something wrong, I try and be quick to put it right, or at least apologize and seek forgiveness. And equally as well, if somebody says something to me, I do my best not to bear a grudge, even though it hurt. And I mightn't say it to their face, but in my heart I'll say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Not because they deserve it, because they don't. But I don't want to carry that. I forgive you. And I'll do my best to still love you. Even though you try and send more things against me, I still love you. And we can only do that with Jesus. We can only do that by pulling on he who is pure. Because that's why he came. Because he came to be the purity in us. And that's our choice. So just as much as it's our choice to receive him, it's also our choice to walk with him and to live with him. Because we need him. Because I know I need him. I can't live this life without him. So when you come up for communion, as you come past the table, and you notice it's just the one light, one candle lit, think on these things. Think on him who is pure and holy and spotless and precious. As you come to communion and receive the bread and the wine of him who died for you and lives in you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for yourself. We thank you for the sacrifice that he was willing to make for each one of us, for everyone in the world, for me. Help us. If we haven't already, say, yes, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. Yes, Lord. Thank you for being my Savior. Yes, Lord. Thank you for being the sacrifice for me. And yes, Lord. I want you to be my Lord. Not just a title I give you. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.